Hi, I'm Steve Morgan, executive producer at Cybercrime Radio. Welcome to this week's Cyber Safety with our guest expert, Scott Schober, author of the popular cybersecurity books, Hacked Again and Senior Cyber. Cyber Safety provides education, advice, and how-to tips on protecting yourself from cybercrime. You can listen to previous segments of Cyber Safety on our podcast at cybercrime.radio. Scott, welcome, and thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
Phishing, spelled with a P-H, P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. It's a shame that I have to ask you this question, Scott, but I'm going to ask it because just so many people still can't answer it after all of these years. What is an email phishing attack?
Well, email phishing attack is simply something, and I always relate it to phishing, just spelled a little bit differently. We're used to, with phishing, we have a lure that attracts a fish to bait that's shiny. It distracts them to the point they're looking for their hungry meal and they just jump out and bite it. Same thing with an email phishing attack. That email looks so convincing that we read through it and we assume it's from our bank. We assume it's from our stockbroker or from a trusted source. And anything that we're told to click or call, we follow through because, again, we are fooled because of trust issues there.
And what are the three types of popular phishing attacks we need to be aware of?
Well, certainly spear phishing is grown in popularity, and that's really where there's targeted attacks that are directed at a specific individual or specific company. So it's a very focused type of attack. There are also whaling attacks, and those attacks are really going for senior executives within an organization, maybe the CEO or the CFO, where there's going to be hopefully a bigger payout that they're trying to achieve there. And then there's also farming, which is leveraging DNS catch poisoning, trying to capture user credentials through these fake login and landing pages where there are redirects to different websites. So all of these different types of phishing attacks can be extremely effective, especially when the user is not paying close attention and they have some level of trust. They look at the graphics, they look at the text, no longer are there spelling errors in these emails and things, and they simply click. Next thing you know, it's game over.
So, Scott, are we only talking about email? Is that, you know, the attack vector, or are there other ways that, you know, we're being attacked?
You know, predominantly it has always been email, but now with the growing use of smartphone, hey, look, everybody's got a smartphone and we all are dependent upon them. Now phishing attacks have kind of migrated. They can also take place via a phone call, which would be a voice phishing attack, or even via SMS phishing, where it's an actual text message that we receive. And again, it looks convincing. And what do? We make that mistake where we click on it, and it's got a hyperlink that will now take us to another site, and it'll start to download that actual malware to our phone.
So I have a really important question for you, Scott. Before I ask it, I just want to share that last year, or actually it was before the pandemic, we went out to a New York Mets baseball game, and we circulated around asking fans, do you know what phishing is? And most of them said yes. And they were fairly confident. We asked a follow-up question, do you know what spear phishing is? And they were like a deer in the headlights. And we asked a couple of other questions. So, you know, clearly, you know, people don't really understand how to spot these attacks. So what are some ways the average person can spot a phishing email or text?
Yeah, there's a couple different tells, I guess you could say, that will really help you. If you notice something is suspicious, the activity is suspicious, maybe a login attempt, something looks a little bit different. If you're talking to somebody and they claim that there's a problem with an account or payment information and they start asking you additional questions, oftentimes it's even just a reconfirmation of personal information, which seems strange. You're going through the different stages of something, you click on something, and they're asking you for additional personal information. Those are all tells right there. I see a lot of this fake invoices. So if you're running a business and you're receiving these fake invoices and you right away look and say, wait a minute, I didn't buy that. Let me click on this. Let me report this. Let me get back to this person. They lure you in, again, in hopes to try to pull something away from you, fish information away from you. Lots of clicks and links to any type of payment information. Those are red flags. if you're given signs that, hey, you're eligible for a refund or a government refund, tax refund, and especially targeting older people, any type of coupon that gives you free stuff. If it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. So again, all those things are just signs to slow down, use caution, read it again. And if you're not sure, if you tend to be a trusting person, ask a friend for help. I always say phone a friend. Ask someone, hey, does this sound too good to be true? I just want to bounce something off of you. And a lot of times that helps you slow down from clicking on something or providing personal information that could lead to more problems.
Well, I haven't checked my email yet today, but I feel much more prepared. So thank you for sharing that, Scott, and look forward to having you come back next week.
Excellent. Thanks, Steve.
I'm Steve Morgan, executive producer at Cybercrime Radio. You just listened to this week's Cyber Safety with our guest expert, Scott Schober, author of the popular cybersecurity books, Hacked Again and Senior Cyber. Cyber Safety provides education, advice, and how-to tips on protecting yourself from cybercrime. You can listen to previous segments of Cyber Safety on our podcast at cybercrime.radio.